I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Author Habiba Cooper Diallo discusses her experiences as a Black woman in Canada's public school system, outlining both representation and misconceptions in her new book, Black in School. As part of the Toronto Public Library's Black History Month showcase, Habiba joined the weekly discussions to comment on the lived experiences of Black youth in schools and the importance of representation and accurate lessons on these topics.
What led me to write it, or what led me to journal, to keep diary entries in the first place, was just to have an outlet, was just to have a place of relief and release, was to have a safe space for myself. And, you know, I've always kept diaries since I was about 12 years old. And I've always written, even prior to 12 years old, I wrote. I've always loved writing. I've always loved documenting and expressing my thoughts, feelings, and observations of the world around me. So it was just natural, actually, that at that point in my life in high school, when dealing with very difficult moments, at times, I guess, just such egregious forms of racial microaggressions and other issues, it was just natural for me to put them on paper.
Early on in the publication process, Habiba said it was difficult to find a publisher that saw the markability of her work. Despite the rejections, she was determined to share these stories of the Black experience.
I just accepted it. I embraced it as part of the journey. It's not easy for any creative or for any writer to receive rejections, because you put your heart and soul, your life energy into your work. However, I'd say I received the rejections positively. I realized it wasn't necessarily a reflection on the content of my work or the merit of my work. Sometimes it had to do with marketing and how certain houses, their understanding of it, and whether they saw it fitting within their catalog and so forth. And something too about works by Black writers or about works that feature the Black experience. Unfortunately, many dominant houses, they don't see a fit for it. They don't see a place for it. And that's unfortunate, because Black people, we exist in the world just like everyone else. Our reality is just as much the reality of people in the world. So, of course, our experiences are of interest to everyone.
The foundation of the book relies on Habiba's high school experiences and her need to resist the single story of Black Canadians. These are presented in her journal entries.
So the stereotypes, experiences in high school. When I was in high school, I often felt that I was resisting the mainstream, that I was fighting against the mainstream, especially... Well, the book is called Black in School. So obviously, especially within the context of Blackness and of Africanness, of my Africanness especially, because the portrayals of Blackness or of Africanness were all negative. Sometimes they were often limited to this idea of the rampant corruption in the continent of Africa, the rampant corruption, the rampant poverty, the rampant famines and malnourished children. So it was really telling that single story that Chimamanda Adichie speaks of so eloquently, the problem of that single story. And I was resisting that single story. I was trying to tell people there are other stories. It's not just a single story. And so that's something that was very hard. And that was emotional for me. When I think back to those teenage years, it was something that was very emotional for me too.
One particular incident involved a school assembly about Uganda terrorist leader Joseph Kony, with a video depicting violence and the impoverished areas of the nation.
So it was an assembly held around the Kony 2012 issue in Uganda and South Sudan, and some of the fighting and the child soldiers. And so we watched a film, the whole school, about that. There was a movie done on it. And I remember just sitting in the auditorium. I felt so disturbed by the film, because we saw this very gruesome, fighting, blood, decapitations, all that kind of thing. And again, the whole issue of like tribal warfare in Africa and so forth. And then they brought someone, a fighter, and to just basically confirm all of that. So then it was hard for me to have any other ideas about it, that perhaps it should have been more contextualized. Or, you know, the issue is that, look, no one is trying to ignore the issue of say war and conflict in Africa, or of famine and of diseases. And look, everyone knows I'm passionate about maternal health, obstetric fistula. It's a disease of poverty. It's a disease that we find predominantly in Africa, so forth. So no one's ignoring those realities, but they need to be presented alongside other realities. They need to be told within their proper context. When we tell these stories, we have to give people their dignity. We don't strip people's dignity away from them, even if they're experiencing conflict, or if they're in a refugee situation or so forth.
After the assembly, she asked for a follow-up with a VP and was shocked to find out that the content of the video were not screened beforehand.
All of those presentations, such as the CONI 2012 assembly we had, and then I followed up with one of the VPs at the school after the event, and I told her how I felt about it. And, you know, and one thing she did say was that they actually didn't preview the film. They didn't watch it before sharing it with the entire school. And I wondered why they hadn't. But then I was also happy to know that two other boys from the school, she told me, had also contacted her, and they were from that region, the Uganda-Sudan region, and they told her, you know, like, this has not been our reality, and they too weren't happy with how that was brought to their classmates, with how that was brought to the whole school, because then it reinforces those negative ideas about Africa and those racist ideas about African people, you know, that we're always in need of handouts, that we're always in need of saving from Western nations, or from Western nations, or from large NGOs to come in and help end our conflicts and so forth. So we don't want to reinforce those ideas for non-Black students, and then even for Black students in the high schools, because Black students then they too receive Africa and Blackness in that way, and then it's hard, and then they kind of just want to sort of melt away.
Further, Habiba said that these types of methods towards education on international news, especially regarding Africa, need to be curated better, ensuring that Black students do not feel inferior or embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. So for those students, it creates a sense of embarrassment, and it creates an inferiority complex. And that's the harm that our educational system is doing right now to Black students, the creation of this inferiority complex. And that's the harm of racism more generally, whether inside the classroom, outside the classroom, in larger society. That's the crime of racism. And someone did an article on this, but that's one of the crimes of racism, is that it creates a sense of inferiority, and it kills the self-esteem of Black students. So when we tell these single stories, these single portrayals of Blackness in Africa, it creates a deep sense of embarrassment. Those kids, they try to whiten out, if you will. They try to reject so much of themselves. Maybe they don't want to wear their natural hair to school ever. Maybe they want to start bleaching their skin. You know, these are major issues that Black people experience due to this sense of inferiority. And school isn't a place where that harm is supposed to be done. It's not supposed to create a sense of embarrassment and inferiority in students. It's supposed to create a sense of self-esteem, a sense of belonging, a sense of self-worth, of dignity. It's supposed to nurture students, to make them feel that they can thrive. It's supposed to allow them to bring their complete selves into the space and not have to shy away from any of it, not have to feel embarrassed about any of it. So it's creating the opposite, you know. The objective of school is not to destroy, it's to build, it's to nurture, it's to grow. But what we see right now is that it's creating the opposite. It's having the opposite outcome. The objective is the opposite for Black students. You know, they encounter a lot of problems from doing that because already there are certain stereotypes associated with just their body, with just their person, with just literally them, just how they are and existing within a space. You know, already, and then their youth, the fact their age too, there's an ageism that goes with it. So their youth and the way they speak or the music they listen to, if they show up in the morning, they have their headphones, maybe just on their way to school, they're wearing headphones, maybe they have baggy pants or all of those. It leads to a lot of cultural assumptions, cultural stereotypes. And so then already sometimes they're treated as if they're hostile people, as if they're aggressors, just for no reason at all.
Moving forward, she hopes her works can inspire better representation in schools for Black students, as well as highlight the importance of Black History Month for these individuals. This is something she felt that was absent or not promoted enough in her high school's curriculum.
Black History Month, one year there was nothing for Black History Month. It wasn't recognized, nothing was done, it was just nothing happened. Yet it's something that schools are mandated to celebrate, to, you know, have some form of events and recognition. But in where I finished off grade 11 and 12, there was one year that there was absolutely nothing for Black History Month. So that was completely appalling. And that's just Black History Month. That's not even the curriculum. But going back to the curriculum, there was in grade 10, we did some project. We had an assignment on Africville with one of my history teachers. That one was really good, and I really loved that history teacher. But generally speaking, there wasn't much, if anything, in the curriculum.
Since 2018, Habiba has been nominated for the Bristol Short Story Prize, the Writers Union of Canada Short Prose Competition, and the London Book Fair Pitch Competition. Black in School was originally published in September 2021. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.